Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. We are going to have a study on both of the letters that Peter wrote tonight. And tonight, we're talking the first 12 verses in 1 Peter chapter 1. And the title of the message tonight is Living in Hope. Now, we live in hope because of our salvation. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have no hope. You just have the promise of judgment coming once you die. We have hope because we have faith. And we need to increase our faith. And Peter was adamant about that. And we can't have hope except by God's mercy and His grace. So tonight we're going to look at these first 12 verses. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, we want to see the life that gives hope. It says in verses 1 and 2, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. As we start this, Peter starts this letter with doctrine. Now, he is an apostle. We study him through the book of John. He's the apostle that Christ said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed the flock. Do you love me? Because Peter is going to be the leader of the 11. He is going to be the one that preaches at Pentecost. He's going to be God's chosen people. And he is an evangelist. And he does spread the gospel. We'll get more on that tonight. We need a life that gives hope wherever we are. Now, the places that he was talking about are up here in the northern part of what is known as what?
Turkey.
Or Asia Minor. It's interesting what he's talking. He's writing a letter like Paul. Paul went through and visited churches in this area. But Paul, in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, he prayed that he would go up into Galatia. He prayed that he would go up into Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit forbade him. Could be, I don't know, I want to say, could be that Peter had already been through there. Because Paul himself said, I am not going to go to where the gospel is not preached. God knows where we need to go. And God gives us the life that we need. And it's wherever you are. That's the first point. Wherever you are, and whatever circumstances you're in. Now when he makes this introduction, he says, to the strangers scattered throughout these areas. This is at the time that the Jews were scattered from Israel. Okay? They were also taken out of Rome. Because Nero and all those guys, they didn't want them around. They want the Christians around. And so here's the point. Peter is writing to people who are strangers in this area. They don't belong there. They're not citizens there. But folks, there's another meaning to this. We're supposed to be strangers in this world. He's going to later on talk about, don't think it's strange how the fiery trial that comes. And don't think it's strange that you're not running with the same crowd. Folks, we need to be strangers in the world. We need to be different in the world. You know why? Because we have a life that gives hope. Wherever we are, We have a life that gives hope. So that's verse 1. Verse 2, though, is we see the work of the Trinity in salvation. Now, there's several main things here. The first one is the word elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So the first one he mentions of the Trinity is God the Father. We need to understand that salvation was the plan of God the Father. We know that Jesus Christ was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. We knew that God knew that Adam and Eve were going to fall in the garden. He already had a plan in place to do this. This issue about elect is means to have a foreknowledge. We're not going to talk about irresistible grace and you can't help but get saved. But the issue is that God knows who's going to get saved and who's not. But the invitation for salvation is to everyone. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't say the elect. In John 3:16, He didn't tell that to Nicodemus. God has a plan. He has a plan that He works through Israel. And Israel is the elect. There are chosen people to do God's work. We're chosen to do God's work, but we make the choice. But we make the choice. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men shall slackness, but is what? Long-suffering to usward, and not willing that what? That any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance." So I will get off this predestination thing right off the bat. Salvation is for all. God knows it's His plan for all mankind to be saved. Some will go, few will go, most will go to destruction. So He talks about the plan of God the Father. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge or the planning of God the Father. Secondly, through sanctification of the Spirit. Now, to be sanctified means to be what? Set apart. We're set apart to do a thing. It is the protection of the Holy Spirit. What God has started in us, He will continue to do it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's sanctification of the Holy Spirit. You can't do the things of God unless you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. You can't get the Holy Spirit of God unless you have the life that gives hope. You can't find the life that gives hope unless you understand God's plan from the beginning of the creation and time. It's all together here. And so, Peter's already identified God the Father. He's already identified the Holy Spirit. And we need to be protected. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us direction. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us a sense of what is right and what's wrong. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to figure out what is truth and what is error. It's the Holy Spirit that illuminates us. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of sin. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us into all righteousness. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. We can't be separated to God unless you have the Holy Spirit. It's the life that gives hope. Then it says, and oh, by the way, if you are set apart by the Holy Spirit, you will be obedient. Okay? We in ourselves don't want to be obedient. It's God who gives us the ability and His grace to be obedient. It says, now, in sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we see all three persons of the Godhead right here. It is the personal effort of Jesus Christ that gives us the life that gives hope. It's by His blood. It's by His name. It's by His life. It's by His power. It's by His resurrection. It's by His sacrifice on the cross that we have this. It's God's plan executed by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. And so that allows us to have a life that gives hope. Now, lastly, there's the products of God to us. Grace unto you and peace be what? Be added?
Multiply.
Okay? I'm not going to get in math tonight, but you can multiply things faster. You get bigger by multiplying more than you can add. So the issue here is that God's grace and peace is multiplied in a life that gives hope. You cannot get God's grace until you have the Holy Spirit. You can't have the Holy Spirit unless you know Jesus Christ as your Redeemer and Savior. Amen. In accordance with God's plan. And that's God's grace. Until that point, you're under His mercy. Because it wasn't by His mercies we all be what? Consumed. It's by His grace and mercy that Christ did what He did. But He gives us the grace to allow us to live a life that gives hope. And then the other one is peace. How do we have peace with God? Through Jesus Christ. And so, in introduction, we see who He's writing to. He's writing to these people that are scattered throughout northern Turkey. Probably where He's been. He's now writing this from Rome in jail. Okay. He says, look, you need to be strangers. Not only are you stranger nationality-wise, but you're stranger spiritually. And folks, today, are we strangers spiritually in the world? Do we look like the world or do we look like Christ? In our Bible class today, so what is the will of God? The will of God is for you to be conformed to His image. You can't be conformed to His image unless you know Him as your Savior. And then you can't be conformed to His image. After you know Him as a Savior, you can't be conformed to His image unless you allow the Holy Spirit to have full reign in your life. And then you can be what He wants us to be. And that's the will of God. So it is the life that gives hope. Secondly, in verses 3 through 5, we see that we live in hope because of salvation. We are separated from the spiritually dead in verse 3. It says, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope. Now, you can also translate lively as a living hope. Okay? It's one that has life. It's one that's not dead. Okay? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are begotten of God by Jesus Christ. We are born again. If you're not born again, this is meaningless to you. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You're on your way to judgment and eternal separation from God. There is no hope in that path. But because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this lively hope. And this hope should elicit praise. Now, we've been going through the Beatitudes on Sunday morning for the kids. And it says blessed. This is a different word. This word for blessed means is the same word that we get eulogy from. And what is a eulogy? It's a praise talking about all the life of the one that you're eulogizing. Okay? And so we need to praise the life that gives us salvation. We need to praise the life that gives us hope. And you can't praise anybody if you're dead. So we have a lively hope. It's a hope that should elicit praise. And it is a hope that should experience a new or a different life. It says, and how does it happen? Because of his abundant mercy. Did we deserve Christ?
No.
No. It's by his mercy that he had a foreknowledge that he was going to send Christ to earth. That's his mercy. Grace is what he gives us for eternal life. So, according to his what? Abundant mercy. Should we not praise God for his mercies? Okay? We should. And it says, hath begotten us again unto a what? A lively hope. We sing the song, living for Jesus. A life that is what? True. Okay? Not false. A life that is alive and not dead. And so, we live in hope because of salvation, because we are separated from the spiritually dead. Paul writes the Thessalonican church. He says, don't live as those that have no hope. Okay? Paul writes to Titus, says, looking for that what? Blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 3, we live in hope because of salvation, and we are separated from the spiritually dead. We talked about this with sanctification. We went through Romans chapter 6. And we talked about that we're dead to ourselves and alive unto God. Verse 4. We live in hope because of salvation because we see the inheritance set before you. It says, to an inheritance uncorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, we should plan for the future. But the issue is that if you're planning for your kids and you're trying to bring a nest egg that you could give to your kids, in this day and age, in this economy, what you had building is shrinking. It's not incorruptible. Okay? There's nothing that lasts. If you're trying to save an heirloom, it will tarnish. It will do all that. We have an inheritance from God. Amen. We have an inheritance from God. And we need to see that inheritance that's set before you. And there's four things here about this. It's incorruptible. It's not blemished. It's perfect. It's pure. It's all the things that God is. It represents his character. And not only that, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says that we have to put on what? Incorruption. That this corruptible has to put on incorruption. So this is an inheritance set before you that is incorruptible. How many times have you looked for something or you were promised something and you did that action, and in the end, you didn't get what you thought you were going to get? We've all been there, right? And it causes great, what? Disappointment. And there is no hope. You hoped while you were doing that task. Maybe you were a child. Maybe you were a worker or something. And said, well, we gave this to somebody else. And then you go, what? How dare you do that? That's not God. What God promises, he's going to bring.
Amen.
And it's incorruptible. The second thing is undefiled. It's exactly what you need. It's exactly what you need. It's exactly as God wants to give it. Because God's character is pure and perfect. And so everything he does is pure and perfect. So it's to an inheritance. Well, by the way, we don't have the inheritance left. You know, there's the story of the prodigal son. He said, give me what's coming to me. And what did he do? He spent it all. And now does he have anything to look forward to? No, he winds up in the pig pen. We have something we can look forward to that we haven't received yet. It's the earnest, the Holy Spirit we have right now is the earnest of our inheritance. It's incorruptible, that's undefiled, And that fadeth not away, it's eternal. It lasts forever. Aren't you so... I am upset with everything that I buy anymore that lasts about a week and then it breaks. Aren't you? And then you take it down. Well, there's a warranty on it. Well, you get the warranty on it and it's still broken. We'll send you a new one and then it breaks. God's inheritance doesn't break.
Amen.
It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's eternal. It's forever. It's forever. You know, all the promises, you know, going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that we'll forever be with the what? With the Lord. Because I go and prepare a place for you. And Peter was in that crowd that day. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my father's house there are many mansions. If it was so, I would not have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Mm-hmm. That where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
That's something to look forward to.
Yes.
Peter is probably in jail here. And he can still see what's coming. And it's great because there's a promise. It's reserved.
Amen.
You have a place in heaven with your name on it.
Yes.
If you know Jesus Christ. He knows us by name. He knows everything about us. And folks, when you know that you've got something great coming, you ought to be excited about it coming.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to be excited about You ought to be able to get through because you can look on the other side. So we live in hope because of salvation, because we are not spiritually dead anymore. We're separate from that. We have an inheritance that's set before you. And we are saved to the end of salvation. Now, when we get saved, here's a principle. When we get saved, we're forgiven, we have a reservation in heaven, but we're not redeemed. That happens when this corruptible puts on incorruption. That happens when we're with God. That happens at the end. It says here, verse 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto what? Salvation to be revealed in the last time. So if you think salvation and getting heaven right now and having the promise of that is good, that's just the beginning. And God's going to keep us. First of all, it's a gift. We can't earn it or deserve it. Secondly, God's going to keep it because he that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that Sunday night. We're kept by his power. And then the third thing is, we haven't seen anything yet. It's going to be revealed in the last time. In Jude, verse 24, which we did Sunday night. Now unto him that is able to what? Keep you. There's only one that can deliver you from hell, and that's Christ. There's only one that can give you heaven, and that's Christ. There's only one that can give you forgiveness of sins, and that's Christ. There's only one that can give you an inheritance in heaven, and that's Christ. There's only one, and that's God, through Christ. And he's going to make sure that we get it.
Amen.
That ought to bring us some peace.
Yeah.
It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, we give praise. We give praise. We should give praise. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing he ever what? Liveth to make intercession for them. I don't serve some dead dude in a tomb. I don't serve some idol that can't talk or can't speak. I serve a living Savior. He's ever making intercession for me. Peter gets it. He gets it. And that gives him hope. Live in hope. Because of salvation, because you're separated from being spiritually dead. Live in hope because of salvation, because you've got something coming that you can't even fathom. Live in hope because the best is yet to come when we're redeemed and we're with Him eternally. And God's going to keep us and He's going to make that happen. How many of you have been let down by people promising you something and didn't deliver? God will deliver.
Amen.
God will deliver all of us. He will deliver you. Mm-hmm. So, there is a life that gives hope. And if we have that hope, we can live in that hope because of our salvation. We can also live in that hope because of faith. In verses 6 through 9, it says, wherein ye what? Greatly rejoice. He's got abundant mercy. We ought to get better at this rejoicing thing. Okay? Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, manifold means there's a lot of them. Okay? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom have you not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable in full glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the what? Salvation of your souls. We need to live in hope through faith with endurance. Okay? That fights through trials. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, it says, for I reckon, Paul writes, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed where? In us. That's hope. That's hope. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. This is God to us. Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And He wants us to be with Him. He wants a relationship with us. And He went all the way to the cross for that. We need to live with in hope through faith with endurance. It says, though now for a season. Here's the issue about this endurance. It's not for eternity. It's for a temporary time. And the first thing about it paling in comparison is the stuff that we go through down on earth is just a dot in eternity. It's not even a dot. Because eternity is forever. He says, don't worry about it. It'll end. It'll end. And then for a season, there are things that come in our lives because we need it. And God allows trouble to come to test our faith. Okay? If need be. Okay? If need be. And then you're in heaviness through what? Manifold temptation. Oh, and it's not a one-time thing. He says, in this world, you will have what? tribulation. He tells his disciples that. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So, in verse 6, we need to have a love. We need to live and hope through faith with endurance. There's too many people that give up right now. Verses 7 and 9 with expected results. In verse 7 it says that the trial of your faith, it is coming, will grow your faith. In verse 7. Romans chapter 5 verses 3 through 4 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." And he starts out this chapter, Paul starts out this chapter with saying, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ because we're justified. So the issue is that your trial of your faith is even more precious than gold that perisheth. You know, to get 24 karat gold, you have to purify gold and take off the dross gold. That's not 24 karat. And he says, this is even more precious than that. That's still gold that's getting rid of. Can you imagine what God wants to do in our life? He wants to do so much more. We're so much more precious than we even think we are in God's sight. So they expect the result, growing your faith and then glorifying God. He says, there will be trial of fire that may be found. So, if we fail in our trials, will there be anything that lasts? No. Will there be anything to be found? No. And therefore, can we glorify God? No. We've got to get through the trials, whatever they may be. Whatever they may be. So we can glorify God. May be found unto the what? Praise and God and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And who got you through it? God did. Okay? So we live and hope through faith with expected results, growing your faith, glorifying God, and in verse 8, gratitude to God. Now, Peter had a unique position. He saw Christ. He walked with Christ. But now, what did Christ say in the last chapter of John to Thomas? He says, "You believe because you see me. Blessed are those who don't see yet believe." And Peter's saying the exact same thing. You know, it's interesting to watch this. That Peter's actually getting the lessons that Christ taught him. If you don't have gratitude, you will not be hopeful. If you think everything's against you, there is no endurance. Because we'll be overwhelmed by disappointment and despair. And so, we need to understand, whom having not seen, we what? Love. In whom now that you see not, yet what? We believe. Ye what? Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So our expected results is that our faith will grow. And then in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, he's going to talk about adding to your faith all these things. We should be glorifying God. We should express gratitude to God. And in verse 9 it says, receiving the what? The end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now in Romans 8, verse 23, we see, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the what? Redemption of the body. That's the end. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the dead shall sing, it is well with my soul. Folks, That's how we have faith. That's how we can live through trials. Because we need to live in hope through faith. With expected results. Grow your faith. Glorify God. Gratitude to God. And gaining the end of salvation. Now, whatsoever you do, eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, all to the what? Glory of God. Lastly, we need to live in hope because of grace. In verses 10 through 12, it says, of which salvation. So Peter's still talking about what? Salvation. He's talking about all the benefits of salvation. Benefits of salvation is no judgment. Benefits of salvation is an inheritance. Benefits of salvation is be able to get through these trials. Benefits of salvation is to do all this thing. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching water what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed not unto themselves, but unto us did they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. We need to understand, we need to live in hope because of grace, and from the Old Testament perspective, it was announced. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We're going through Isaiah 53. It's going to talk about what Christ did. David writes about it in Psalm 22, 23, and 24. He even predicts what type of crucifixion it is before it even started. This is the amazing thing. These men saw this happening hundreds of years before, and it happened exactly the way they said it. Exactly the way they announced it. It said it's coming. And now what are we doing? We're saying Christ is coming back. Amen. We have the authority of God's Word that said, how do we know it's going to happen? Because all the stuff that He said is going to happen happened. Amen. Happened. It was announced. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Who what? Prophesy. And we're prophesying by preaching. They preached that the Messiah was coming. They announced it because they saw salvation coming. And they had faith in that promise because it was anticipated. Live in hope because of grace that was anticipated. In verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them to signify. So the issue is they thought He was going to come back. Now here's the issue. Isaiah talked about the first coming of Christ. He also talks about the second coming of Christ. And when you're driving down the road and you're going into a mountain range, sometimes you don't know which one's the close mountain and which one's the far mountain. You see both of them, but to you they look the same distance. They can be miles apart. They can be miles apart. And this is what they're saying. I don't understand this. They were anticipating it was going to happen very quickly. And folks, we need to live our lives it's going to happen very quickly. Very quickly. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, there's a whole laundry list of people in the Old Testament. It says, and these all, having obtained a good report through what? Faith. Faith in what? The promise of grace. Received not the promise, but that didn't stop them from believing. And folks, if you don't get your way through a trial, or you don't get your way in a situation, that should not stop you from believing in God. These people lived before Christ came. We know Christ came. It's a historical fact. We live in hope because of grace. grace that's greater than our sin, grace that will enable us to do anything that God wants us to do. It was announced, it was anticipated in the Old Testament. And then it was administered. It says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves. They preached the message. And Peter's writing there, he says, they preached the message even though they didn't see the end of it. They had faith in believing it. Folks, we need to preach the message that Christ has come back even though we haven't seen Him come back yet. And we need to believe it. It says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things. And not only that, but what they were doing hundreds of years affected Peter, affected all the apostles, affected all the early church, affects us today. Because we stand on their foundation. Which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel. Not only was it administered, it came to pass. And that was acclaimed. The last part of verse 12 says, which things the angels desire to look into. Here's the amazing thing. All this was done for us. It wasn't done for the angels.
Right.
It was done for us. What is man that you think of him? What is man? Made a little bit lower than the angels. But here's the point. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the what? Presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
Amen.
If you go and you read the Bible, it talks about when someone gets salvation, it puts heaven in awe.
Amen.
It puts the angels in awe because they see the plan that God had made before the foundation of the world, before He created the world, come to pass. And they see all this because they're eternal beings too. They see all this. They say, wow, it came exactly as God said it was going to happen. And it works. And they're in awe at it. And folks, we ought to be in awe of that. We ought to be in awe of salvation that works. And it should give us hope. It should give us faith. And it should give us grace. Should cause us to ask God for more grace. So we can boldly approach the throne of grace that we can find what? Help in time of need. Do you have a living hope tonight? That's what Peter is writing here. You know, Peter would be one that knows. He said, God didn't throw me out when I denied Him. I got another chance.
Yeah.
And folks, we need to understand that God gives us another chance. Do you need another chance tonight? Maybe you need a relationship with Him through salvation. Understand that Jesus Christ came, He lived a perfect life, died on the cross and placed a man's sin for our sin. Was buried and rose the third day. He sits in heaven with the power to forgive sin, the power to give eternal life. Have you got that nailed down? If you do, that should give you hope. A living hope. Not a dead statement. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, we just ask You with this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, just to live for You. Help us to decide for You, Lord. Help us to live in hope. Not like others that have no hope. Lord, increase our faith. Help us, Lord, to work because we are saved. Help us, Lord, to show the world we are saved. And Lord, help us to see Your grace work in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.